So all of us want to live a life that matters, right? We want to live a life of significance. We want to live a life that brings happiness to ourselves and others. And there is an issue that is actually one of the most important keys to actually living a life that matters, a life where you live as the best version of yourself. And it's more important than wealth. It's more important than influence, the ability to communicate, the ability to present yourself. It's more important than intelligence. In fact, without this characteristic, things like wealth and intelligence and influence actually become dangerous if you don't have this characteristic. The characteristic I'm talking about is wisdom. So this thing of being wise is something that, as followers of Christ, we should pursue with our whole hearts. Because when we understand what wisdom is and we start living in a wise way, it is amazing how the natural things that God gives us become filled with a different kind of quiet power that just makes life incredibly meaningful. What is wisdom? You know, a lot of times we think of wisdom as the person on top of the mountain, or the person who's gone to school, or the really intelligent one, or the one who's quick verbally. But I want to contend that actually you can be all of those things and not be wise at all. You can be wealthy. You can be in charge. You can be successful. You can have all kinds of characteristics and not be a wise person. Many times this world rewards foolishness. And so what is this thing of wisdom? Well, there's an entire section of the Bible filled with what they call wisdom literature. It's the stuff that was written to teach us what it means to live a wise life, a meaningful life, a successful life, a life that actually matters. And at the heart of this is this wonderful book called Proverbs. Now, I just love Proverbs because it's like the meat and potatoes of how to live. It is full of information on relationships and finances. It's full of information on how to parent, on how to have good relationships, how to deal with difficult people, what you should invest in, what you shouldn't, how you should spend your time. And it is a book that is full of incredible wisdom that God has given us. You might say that it was the very first self-help book. Only the key to understanding Proverbs is that it actually is a God help book. Because at the beginning of Proverbs, it begins with this declaration, you know, to be aware of God, to take God seriously. The fear of the Lord is where wisdom starts. So this understanding that above my head, over me, is this reverent perspective. We're going to talk a lot this fall about reverence and wisdom. This God who's above me changes everything. And because I live in his sight, I live differently. And then it applies to all kinds of different situations. Now, here's what you really need to understand about wisdom. Wisdom is not about knowing the things you should do. It's not actually even simply about doing the things you should do. It's about having the kind of perspective and the kind of heart where the good things that you should do, the good person you are, naturally flows out into your life. It's about a transformation away from folly or foolishness to this beautiful place of wisdom. It's a journey. It's a beginning. It is about how you live, and at the center of it is how you treat people and how you respond to people because you live under the gaze of God. And so wisdom is love lived out. And so we're going to see this by doing a study in the book of Proverbs. We're actually going to be dancing in and out of Proverbs throughout the year. We're going to do a series that's from Proverbs, and later in the year we're going to do it, and then later in the next summer, actually, we're going to bring us back to Proverbs. But this is all about understanding what it means to live a life of significance. Now, so let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. We're going to talk a little about Proverbs, and then we're going to talk specifically about the topic we're going to attack from the book of Proverbs. Listen to what it says. It says, "The proverb of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, wisest man who ever lived, because he asked God to give him wisdom." So he's a wise man, and he's speaking. Look what it says, "To know wisdom." So these proverbs are to know wisdom, so know the right way to do, and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction. And that's one of the keys to becoming a wise person. You're going to see that over and over again in this series and others, that if you can learn, you can receive instruction and correction, then you're on your way to wisdom. To receive instruction in wise dealing so that you know the right things to do, that's righteousness. You care about what's fair and equitable, that's justice. And you believe in equity, that you believe that every person is created in the image of God, and that changes how you look at everything. To give prudence. Prudence is discernment and understanding and avoiding excess to the simple. So help people understand who aren't that sharp and don't get it and are living foolishly. Knowledge and discretion to the youth. Understand that one of the big gifts of the book of Proverbs is that there's really many of the Proverbs are written as though a father is writing to his children. And so if you are young and you want a life of significance, one of the best things in the world you can start doing is figuring out the book of Proverbs. He says, let the wise hear, because if you're wise, you listen. You pay attention, you're growing, you're learning, and increase in learning. And the one who understands, obtain guidance. And the guidance has the understanding of, here's these principles, how do I apply it in real time? We're going to talk about that and the role of the Holy Spirit in that. It's going to be really fun, really good. Verse 6, and to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and these riddles. And so you understand them, and then you discern how to apply them to your specific life situation. And then verse 7, the fear of the Lord, taking God seriously, making him big in our lives, making him just the center of things, and understanding that he is over our head, the awareness, the fear, the seriousness, taking God seriously of the Lord is where it all starts. It's the beginning of knowledge. But a fool despises wisdom and instruction. And so here's the deal. Spending time in the book of Proverbs, spending time investigating the book, studying this book, learning this book, is one of the great gifts you can give to yourself to learn and to grow. I had a friend, and he was an older fella, one of the wisest people I ever met. And I asked him one time, how did you get all these insights about dealing with people and overcoming? And you seem to go through conflict really well. You handle stress really well. You seem to just know the things to say. You don't say a lot, but when you say it, man, you nail it. And one of the things, he very humbly said, well, I don't know. And I pushed him and pushed him, and he finally came back. And he said, well, one of the things I do is every day I read a chapter in the book of Proverbs as part of my devotions. Every day I read one of these chapters. There's 31 of them, so it's like a month. And so every day I read through, and I think through, and I choose one of them, and I focus on it, and I ask, what's the wisdom principle there? And then when I'm faced in real time with life challenges, it's amazing how many times one of those rises to the surface, and I just know the thing I'm supposed to do. And so this book of Proverbs is incredibly wise. One other great benefit of going through the book of Proverbs is you're going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Because you are going to see the wisdom of how Jesus lived in so many of these Proverbs. Because the Bible tells us, he is wisdom incarnate. So the way he lived was the right way. It was the wise way. And when you live like him, like our vision statement says, when you make it your mission to know and to follow him, you are being a wise person in how you're supposed to do it. Now, just a little warning about the book of Proverbs, because I actually believe it's one of the most misinterpreted books in the Bible, because this, I just want to tell you what Proverbs is. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, listen now, in which general principles are expressed in a pithy or a catchy way. So general principles are expressed. We apply these principles to our specific like situation, circumstance, and relationships under the discernment and the discretion of the Holy Spirit. So don't need to worry if you miss some of that, because we're going to repeat it a lot during the series. But here's the deal. The book of Proverbs expresses general wisdom. If you treat it like a book of rules or a book of laws or a book of commands, you're going to completely misunderstand it. You say, well, how does it work? Well, you take this general principle, and then in prayer, in relationship with the Holy Spirit, you say, how does this apply in my situation? Here's a parenting situation. Here's a marriage situation. Here's a financial situation. You're not good with money? Spend some time in Proverbs. It gives you great wisdom. And so then the Holy Spirit says, well, this is how it applies in your life. And so it's not enough just to know it and to read it. You need the Spirit to guide you in that, and we'll show you how that works. Now, in this message series, we're going to do something I think that's going to be really important. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And my hope is that it sets a lot of people free. But I want to just warn you as we get into this, this could muck some things up for some folks. This could cause you to become aware of some things that might change some things that you're just not going to be able to unhear the things I say. and it's going to bother you, and then you're going to need to do something about it. So if you don't have time for that in your life right now, you might want to just quietly slip out. No, not really. I'm joking totally about that. But here's the deal. We're going to talk about what the Proverbs say about people and whether or not your life and your living as a safe person. I want to give credit where credit is due. This series came out of some research and some reading that I did by a book called Safe People by Dr. Henry Cloud and John Townsend, a fabulous book about how you're supposed to handle this. And so much of what I've set up, particularly today, comes from their teaching. So I want to give some credit where credit is due because it really is important stuff. So what I want to talk about today in terms of self-people are the three people that are expressed, are described in the book of Proverbs, and then we're going to talk about the last one today. Now here's what you need to understand. Go back to the definition of Proverbs. This is a general truth, okay? And if you make it a rule or a law, you say, oh, the Proverbs say a wicked man does this, you did this, you must be wicked all the time, no hope for you. Or a foolish person did this, you know what, I did this, I must be a foolish person, no hope for me. No. What you say is, here's the general pattern, here's the principle, and through prayer you learn to apply it. Now, like so many of our message series, there's also a great danger here, okay? The danger is to say, you know who needs to hear this? I'm totally going to send the link from the website to them. I'm going to go right home and just send them an email because this will change their life. All right, that's not helpful, okay? Next week we're talking about foolish people. You may have a list of people you want to just invite, okay? Don't go there. It's not going to be helpful. But start with, okay, God, what things in my life are true about these characteristics? And then come back in humility and say, and God, am I surrounding myself with the wrong kind of people? So that I have people who are pulling me into evil, pulling me into folly, not helping me become the best version of myself, which is a person who lives to become and to know Jesus Christ. So let's talk about these three people, and then we're going to talk more deeply about the last one. First one that the book of Proverbs describes is, of course, a wise person. So Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33. Here's just one example. So many examples in the Proverbs. It says, hear instruction. And let me just say, that again might just be the most important thing in evaluating whether or not you're a wise person or a foolish person, is how do you receive instruction? Because you can receive it in all kinds of negative ways. You can get it and you can deny it. You could blame someone else. You could, you know, make excuses. You could laugh at it. You could mock it. Or you could go the other way. You could take instruction. You could go, you know, you're right. I'm horrible. I'm terrible. Miserable me. I'm just going to crawl in a hole and give up. Either one of those is a foolish response, right? The wise person takes it and says, tell me more. I want to understand. I don't want to be that person. I want to grow. The book of Proverbs says you trust. Listen now, you trust the wounds of a friend. Did you hear that now? You trust the friend who loves you enough to say difficult things to you. And you learn to lean into that, not get defensive, die, you know, on none of that. It's different. So he says, hear instruction and be wise. Notice the word be wise. That has to do with how you act, how you live, not what you know. Because a lot of people know the wise things to do. They don't do them, okay? Very often because of who they surround themselves with, okay? Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. So this is a call to intentional action. All this fall, we're going to be calling you to be intentional about your spiritual development, because at the end of the day, you and the Holy Spirit are responsible for your growth. Okay, so you are intentional about that. I'm going to give you all kinds of tools. God's going to change people. It's going to be so good. You want to be here. You want to invite people. It's going to be good. Verse 34. Blessed is the person, listen now, who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. This is wisdom speaking, by the way. Wisdom says, blessed is the one who listens to wisdom, watching daily at the gates, waiting beside the door, eager to see what wisdom is, how to live. For whoever finds me finds life. You say, I don't know what I'm living for. I don't know what matters in life. Well, wisdom will teach you and obtains favor from the Lord. This is a life worth living. But the one who fails to find me injures themselves. And who hate me, and all who hate me love death. And so this is not just a good, make my life a little better, make it a little easier. Listen, to find wisdom makes your life matter, makes it real, makes it alive, gives you life. But to reject wisdom, to do things without God over your head, and to just figure things out the best I can, well, that just leads to all kinds of brokenness. And ultimately, the scriptures tell us to a life that's dead, a life that is empty. And it says that we can hate wisdom. And you know when I hate wisdom? When it points out something I don't want to change. When it calls me to something that I know is wrong, I know is broken, I know I don't want to be part of my life, but it holds it up like a mirror and says, look at this. And I said, I want to look at that. Look at this. It keeps putting it in front of my face. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, you know why we don't pray sometimes? Because every time we pray, God reminds us of that thing we don't want to deal with. You know? And so this is an opportunity to say, you know what? I want to be the wise person who says, you know, I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to look at it. It might be painful. It might be embarrassing. It might be humbling. But I just don't want to be owned by this thing that's pulling me away. Now, let me give you a couple things about wisdom that might surprise you. The truly wise people are not necessarily the smartest or the most gifted. There are all kinds of smart, gifted people who are not wise. They are people who are maybe unaware of something, but when you make them aware of it, they say, wow, I had no idea. Thank you. Tell me more. How does that work? When did I do that? Can you give me any examples? And then they go talk to someone else. Did you know I'm like this? And they go, yeah, we knew that. Well, tell me how I cannot be like that. This is a person who leans in to this thing of wanting it. When errors are showed, they make changes. They receive correction, listen now, with gratitude, and they see in it not an opportunity to be full of contempt or anger or resentment, but they see it as an opportunity to grow, and they value it. One of the hardest things in the world for a growing person to find is someone who will tell them the truth. And if you find someone who will, in a loving way, they, you know, find that balance between grace and truth. We all got to learn how to do that better. But when you get it, it becomes like gold. These are people of humility. You know what humility is? Humility is not when it's not when you degrade yourself. Some people think pride is when I lift myself up. Humility is when I say how terrible I am and miserable I am and crawl in a hole. That's not humility either. That is actually another form of pride because you're still obsessed with yourself. You know what humility is? It is being in such awe with God that you see who he is and who he has made you, and you're humbled by that. Look, he's made me a child of God. And now it frees me to be concerned about you because I'm not going to get anything more significant than a child of God. I got nothing to prove. I got nothing to earn. I'm free to love you and I'm free to love God. That's humility. It's desiring good for others and understanding that living to give good to others in a beautiful, out of control way, not codependent, anything like that, but living to help others be blessed is actually the key to a happy, full life. These people have words, but usually they don't have a lot of words. But the words are thoughtful, they're considerate, and they're wise. If they bring a word of correction, they bring it with love. They're the kind of people you listen to because you know they love you. These are wise people. Now, they're not perfect. They're on a journey. They have blind spots. A person can be really awesome in one area of their life and maybe kind of foolish in another area of their life, but this is a wise person that you want to be. Now, the second person there can be is a foolish person. We're going to talk deeply about this next week. And again, you may have a list of people you want to invite that maybe not be a good idea. Anyway, Proverbs 1:7 says this, and you look up the word fool in the Bible, reference after reference in the book of Proverbs. It actually talks more about a foolish person than it does a wise person, just to kind of wake it up. Again, this is a loving father writing to a young son, a young daughter, who is just about to make life choices, and he's saying, this is what makes for a foolish life, a wasted life. The fear of the Lord is beginning knowledge again. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. It says all kinds of things about foolish people. Next week, we're going to do a whole message on it. We're going to talk about how you can recognize and what are the keys to it. And when you start saying, that's right, that's right, that's right. And that's why when I'm like that, I don't like myself. And that's why when I'm with people like that, they're so very, very difficult to love. We'll just say, they're annoying. They're just annoying. Well, we're going to talk about that deeply next week. Now, please hear me. This is not necessarily a stupid person. This is not necessarily an unsuccessful person. You can be a very intelligent fool. This is a person who, when they are challenged with teachability, when they face this thing of correction, their response is denial, defensiveness, blame, ridicule, anything but a self-aware growth that would come to a healthy person. They are not humble. They're fixated with themselves. Even when, you know, they're pushing themselves down and they say, oh, I'm nothing, I'm a worm, all those kinds of things like that, they are people who just do not live well. We'll talk more deeply about that next week. Now, the third person, I want to talk about this one a little bit tonight, is an evil person. Some of you go, wow, dang. I thought everybody was good at their heart of hearts. Nope. Nope. They're just some people who have set their hearts, set their actions, set their ambitions towards dark, evil things. And the Bible would warn us about that. And the Bible would warn us about having relationships and dealing with them and all kinds of things. Listen to what it says. It said, the soul of the wicked desires evil. This is a person who's enjoying it, who's going after it, who ridicules anyone who doesn't like it. His neighbor finds no mercy in his eyes. So the real evil is about how he treats other people, or she treats other people. The Bible describes the evil person, uses all kinds of words. It says they're wicked. At times it says they're schemers. Isn't that an interesting word? They always got an angle, a plot, a direction. They're coming at you in all kinds of different ways, but they can be. And then the other word that he uses so often to describe a wicked person is a mocker. A mocker. The book of Psalms warns us. You actually see it in the devotion this week. It actually warns us. It says, hey, listen, don't hang out with mockers because you get sucked in. You know, the person who says, don't walk with them, don't stand with them. And then it says, and don't sit with them because you get sucked into this thing. These are people who always have the sarcasm and they're tearing things down and you laugh at it. It's even infectious. But just being with the mocker tears things down. And this might not even be a person in your life. This might be the news you're watching. Oh. Or the sports you're watching. Or the books you're reading. Or the blogs you go to. Or the podcast you're listening to. Or the Netflix show you're watching. Because those are companions who will gain influence in your life. And if they are bringing you to dark places, they're causing you to celebrate dark things, they're causing you to think about wicked things, or cherish in some corner of your heart some wicked things, well, then you're not being wise, you're being a fool. One of the biggest characteristics of a fool is they hang out with evil people. And they think it's fun, and it's great, and it's free, and it's liberating, only to find that it actually kills you. Again, an evil person usually, very often, are very intelligent. They are aware of the things that they are doing, unlike the fool, but they don't care. For them, they have a different agenda. When they receive correction, they try to find a way to use it to manipulate you or to hurt you. That's why sometimes it feels unsafe to give certain people correction because, you know, okay, I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm giving them some correction. They're going to turn it back on me. They're going to blame me. They're going to make it about me. This is wicked behavior, and the Bible warns against that. They're not humble at all. Of course, they're primarily concerned with themselves. And listen now, we're going to have to do a whole series on this later after first of the year. What they're concerned of is control and power. I want to be in control of the situation. I want to be powerful. That's just the way it is. And so that's the third characteristic. Now, before we talk a little bit more about that, let me say a couple things about all three of these. Let me say this. First of all, the big question we want to start by asking, this is where we got to always start, is what kind of person am I? What kind of person are you? Are you a wise person? Are you a foolish person? Are you an evil person? Some of you are saying, it depends on the day. Monday, evil, I start working into kind of wiser through the week, maybe. Maybe you can see evidence of these different things. This is why you don't interpret Proverbs like a book of rules. Because here's the thing, is that you're going to find some characteristics of all three in yourself. And the path of wisdom is to honestly look at it with loving, safe people around you and with the Holy Spirit so you can shed off some of those things, some of those behaviors, some of those attitudes, some of those things. Because aren't you tired of carrying that thing of anger or evil or contempt, that thing that just makes you sick to your stomach, and it flares up and it hurts your relationships? Aren't you tired of that? Well, a wise person says it. The second question I want you to ask, this is a really important question. Am I a safe person? Because we're going to talk about surrounding our lives with safe persons, but safe persons aren't going to want to hang around you if you're not a safe person. That is to say, when people try to show you things, do you come at them or how's it? We're going to talk about that in this series as well. And the third question is, with whom am I walking? Listen to what Proverbs 13:20 says. It says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer hard. I'm going to ask deep questions, even as we're getting ready to do a small group rally. And I'm not telling you get rid of all your friends who don't know Jesus and all the imperfect people get out. We're not going to start having tests to make sure you're good enough. None of that. But what I'm saying is the primary sources of support, the primary relationships, your partners in life, are they people drawing you to Christ or pushing you away? Are they people who you could have a deep spiritual conversation or would that just get mocked? Would that get be piled on? Are they people who help you become the version of yourself you want to become, God wants you to become? Are they the people in your life who, you know, I hang around with and I just come back, I'm just tired. I don't like what I did, and I don't like what I feel, and I don't like what I said. Some of you have been through recovery. We have dozens and dozens of you have been and are on the journey of recovery. Some of you have known that one of the keys to recovery is you just had to cut off a lot of old friendships. You had to find a whole new group of people to hang out with because you just couldn't do the other thing because they just pulled you back into that. See, this is some serious questions about the path of wisdom. Three things that surprised me as I did this study for you, and of course you're changing me. It just happens all the time. Three things that surprised me. One is that I have been and can be all three. There have been times in my life where I think I've been wise. I've been led by God. I've done some things. I've been about people and about God. There have been other times where I have been foolish. I've, you know, one of the things he talks about in a fool is they don't have control of their temper and their tongue. When you talk for a living, you know. We'll talk about that next week. Too close to home for that one. But and to be perfectly frank, I've been the evil person. I've been the person who delighted in dark things, and in darkest working, I've been a user of people. I have been a person who has just been not who I want to be. Now, Christ has redeemed that and is redeeming that, and every day I move away from that. But here's the deal. If we're not interested in having that kind of honest assessment, well, then this is just going to be like Teflon on you. It's just going to bounce off you, and if you keep ignoring the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit, you'll get good at not listening to the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be very hard for the Holy Spirit to reach. You want to be tender to the Holy Spirit. You want to be open to the Holy Spirit. You want to be receptive to the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're wanting to do in this work. Second thing that surprised me is that different things make me a different person. So different situations make me wise. Other times, you know, just certain situations I find myself in, cheering for the Packers, I get kind of foolish. Cheering for the Packers, I throw things at the television, things like that. That's a funny one, but it kind of works like that. Different seasons in my life affect me in different ways. A couple years ago, I went through a really difficult time, dark time, and some ugly stuff came out because of some other things going on in my life. But that season under pressure or burnout or loss, we can find ourselves in seasons. God never gave up on me. He doesn't give up on you. Specific people in our lives can actually make us one or the other. Certain people I just hang out with, they just make me better. I got a couple friends. I got three or four friends in my life. I just get with them because I'm lighter and I'm happier and I'm closer to Jesus after we take a drive or go fishing or something like that. You know, there are other people I just know. I just don't need to be around that person because they're a little toxic for me. And other people, they're fine. But for me, I just can't do it, you know. And so that's different. Specific topics maybe make you a version of yourself you don't like. I don't know, politics. And we go to Facebook, and we attack, and we forget there's people we love on there, and we say, basically, you're a horrible person if you don't agree with me, you know, those kinds of things. How about money? Some of you get funky about money. That topic makes you foolish or, you know, something like that. Religion, you know, there are a lot of very religious, foolish people. There are actually a lot of very religious, evil people. And we just need to understand that, and they can be abusive. And some of us have fought that and experienced that. My children are a big one for me. I get up in my head about my kids. My kids aren't okay. I don't get okay. And I just have to sometimes catch my breath and walk out of the room because I'll just say, see what I'm saying? See, the potential for practical application in understanding the principles of the Proverbs just doesn't change. The third thing that surprised me, and didn't really surprise me, but it's so cool, is we all can grow and we can all change. And that's the person who is willing to take correction, learn from it, hear the rebukes, and just take them as a friend. It's the person. You say, even an evil person? Absolutely. What do you think the cross is about? It's about God who was good coming down for a bunch of really evil people, and dying on the cross and taking our sins to the cross. So the redemption is for all of us. A foolish person can change? Absolutely. You know what the key to a foolish person changing is? Teachability. Teachability. As long as a fool is certain that they are right and no one's going to tell them anything else, there's not much you can do for a fool. That's why in the same chapter, the Bible says, Proverbs say, correct a fool in his folly, he will count you wise. And then a couple verses later, do not correct a fool in his folly, or you will be joined in his folly. Well, which is it? Well, that's the issue of discernment. That's the Holy Spirit teaching us. And what I look for is teachability. And then there's something we can do. So, these are the three people. Now, just for a minute here, let's talk for a minute about an evil person. How we can spot an evil person. Well, again, just in the spirit of understanding that evil is real, there's some evil things in the world, isn't it? Let me give you one example. We're all talking about racism. Racism is evil. White supremacy is evil. It should be opposed. It should be rejected. And if there's any part of you that will not honestly look and assess and say, okay, what are they saying? And is there any of that in me? You should. Because God has created every person in his image in the most beautiful and wonderful and delightful way. And he calls us to love everybody. And he calls us to not judge a group or put people in categories or whether it be gender or race or any of the other boxes we tend to put in. Those kinds of approaches, and particularly the foolishness we saw in Charlotte with the white supremacists, that is evil. And we should just call it that. Another example is terrorism. We had one white supremacist drive into a crowd of people. We had another Islamic terrorist drive into a crowd of people on the other side of the pond in Spain this week. Did you see that? That's always evil. That is always evil. Well, we could talk about evil leaders. We have a leader in North Korea who's scaring the rest of the world, right? And we think, what if this evil person gets a hold of these nuclear weapons? See, this is not an academic thing. There's real evil in this world. I don't know if you realize, the last 2 weeks, one of the largest human trafficking rings ever was busted. Praise God. People who are selling, yes, other people into slavery, those people are opposed. Children into slavery, that is opposed and that is evil. We could talk a little bit more gritty there. The unethical people who cheat, lie, and manipulate for wealth, cheat at business, take shortcuts that other people don't get to take, that's evil. Greed is always evil. You see, this is the deal. And so for us to be aware of that, and we live in the world that happens, that's why a seemingly successful person, a seemingly intelligent person, it actually takes a lot of intelligence to get away with evil. Can actually be a person who doesn't have anything to do with God. And I actually found a little how to spot an abusive, dangerous person. Listen to this. This person has the ability to put up a good front and impress others. May even be a high achiever, witty, sarcastic, mocking, or prone to emotional outburst. Adept at intimidation. Convincing. Successful at getting other people to believe their perception of the problem. They're adamant that people side with them rather than allowing people to feel or believe differently. They twist the facts around in order to blame, accusing the other person of the very thing they have done. They start the abuse, but when faced with the reaction of the abused, they accuse the other person of starting it. Everything was fine until you started all this. Convinced that they know more than others, they are correct and right in almost everything they say and do, according to them. They determine how, when, and where to talk and what they want to talk about. They announce, not discuss. They tell, not ask. They do not discuss openly beforehand. They get to deal with after the event, and you get to deal with after the event information. They are unilateral. Their condition is, I'm okay and justified, so I don't need to hear your position and your ideas. They have no concept of open sharing of ideas, feelings, or emotions. They have a direct conversation. They have to have direct conversation. They have to have the last word always. They have to be right. They have to win. They have to look good. The ultimate goal is to have power over others. They maneuver people around for their own purposes. They think only of the end results without considering the feelings or the needs of others in process. They scorn everyone and everything they disagree with. They do not allow the differences to be respected. They seldom expect genuine appreciation or given praise. Again, they are thinking of their needs, not the needs of others. They often go unchallenged by others because they seem to be put off by them or make them, they are afraid, others are afraid of them. They seem to enjoy disturbing others. They like to agitate and disrupt for no apparent reason. Others get upset when in their presence, they cause others around them to feel a sense of guardedness, caution, suspicion, and fear. See, that's an evil person. That's a mocker, a schemer, a person who is so broken, hey, for whatever reason, who is just not a safe person. So how are we supposed to recognize them? We recognize that they begin by denying God, because anybody who fears God and sees God and takes his commands to love seriously, man, that you know, I'm not saying they're not religious. Very often, the most evil people you're going to find are religious, very religious. They use religion to hurt people. And that horrifies as it should. Very often greed is driven. And it may be not greed for money, but it could be. It might be for attention or power or influence or our fame or credit. These are things. They have schemes. They're always working an angle, always coming at you. You never know where you're at because you never know where they're going to come from. See, this is a person who's not trying to give you light and information so you can participate and you can grow together in mutual relationship. This is a controller. They are people, again, the words used by the Bible, mocker, liar, deceiver. And one of the main characteristics the Proverbs come over and over again is that they oppress the poor. That is to say, they're bullies. They take people who do not have the resources, do not have the maybe articulation, attention, the whatever, and they use, listen now, they use the privilege they have to oppress other people. And that is very real, and that is very evil. You see, this is a big deal in our lives. And so you may be here saying, you know what, I know some people, you know, in the world, I've had a boss like that, but there's a couple things I really want you to do. I want you to bring it home and say, okay, when I hear that list, is there a shred of that in me? And I don't want to be that person. Do I got a control problem? Do I got an attention problem? Am I trying to always scheme to get my way rather than come together? Because what's more important is not the way we go, but how we go together. And so it's a mature thing. It's a wise thing to become aware of those things. And the second thing I just want to ask you is, who are the people in your life? Are there people in your life who realize, man, I got some people in my life who are just like that? And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the main thing we're supposed to do with an evil person is get away from them. I mean, you pray for them, you love them, and some of us get kind of sentimental and say, oh, I don't know how they got there, they had a rough childhood. That doesn't matter. If they're not safe, then relationally you might need to keep an arm's length. You say, I don't understand, I'm related to this person. Well, there's a way to keep it at arm's length where you have a civil relationship, you know, but you don't let them be primary in your life, you know. And that can get awfully messy. That's why we're going to talk about some resources here in just a minute. You say, I work with that person, I'm a business partner with that person. And so some of this gets really kind of, complicated. But we're not supposed to over-sympathize with them. You know, one of the other warnings in Proverbs, we're not supposed to envy them. Because, you know, they might have all the money and the control, and just you resent them for all that they have. Pity them. Because they have made a choice to get a short-term win, listen now, for an eternal loss. Jesus calls them a fool. Jesus calls them a fool. And Jesus calls you a fool, you're a fool. That's just the way that is. And so that's it. We might warn them, we certainly should oppose them, but the main thing the Bible says is flee, and that can be a very confusing thing. I want to say one thing. We're going to listen to a song, then I'm going to come up and give you some next step with some resources. I want to say something to the evil person here tonight. Okay? Maybe you're here tonight and the Holy Spirit has undone you. And you're recognizing in your own heart that if I were honest and I looked at those three things, the majority of my life is not typified by wisdom. It's not typified, you know, by even foolishness. It's actually typified by evil. I live for myself. I don't know God. Well, here's the deal. Jesus Christ loves you. He came to die for you. And the biggest mistake you would make if you're in your spirit right now grieving is to try to change yourself, is to try to clean yourself up. What you need to do is you need to come to Jesus Christ on the cross. Because here's the deal. When we come to Jesus Christ and we take our brokenness, we say, I can't carry this anymore. It's my fault. I'm sorry. He takes it and he's carried it to the cross. And he was nailed to the cross with it. When he came out of the cross, he went in the tomb. He came out resurrected. He left that behind. But that's not where it stopped. He then imparts in the one who comes to him in faith, in humility, in brokenness, imparts the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does this fancy theological thing. It's called regeneration. It starts changing your heart. Starts bringing changes inside of you that will start changing the outside of you. And that's something only the Holy Spirit can do. And so if you're here today and you've been thinking, I've done all these evil things, so I thought it was going to give me freedom and power and happiness and control, and all it's given me is a cage, I want you to listen to this song. And so if you're here this weekend, you're listening online, and this is your song, the song of cages is your song, then I just want to let you know that God loves you. Now, like all of us, someday you and I are going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account for the life that we've lived. And without having first gone to Jesus Christ, we carry all that with us, and all that, and stand before a holy God who promises, because he is good, to oppose evil. And so I would just give you a word of warning. Repent. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from your darkness. And embrace the first step of wisdom, which is the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, to come back and say, you are God, I'm not. I need you in my life. And your only hope is not to clean yourself up, not to make up for it, but to turn to Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. If that's where you're at tonight and that's your journey, I want to pray a prayer, and let my prayer be your heart's prayer as we call out to God for redemption. Everyone pray with me. Heavenly Father, I am broken. I'm in a cage. Heavenly Father, I have done things that are wicked, that if these people knew, oh God, I'm aware, I'm exposed, and even a little ashamed. I thank you that you're not a God of shame, but you're a God of forgiveness. You're a God of redemption. You're a God who calls us back to you. I thank you that Jesus Christ came and lived. He died on a cross, and I put my faith and trust in what he did to bring me forgiveness. Take away the brokenness. Take away the shame. Begin the process of changing me from the inside out. I know it's a process. I know it's a journey. I want to start that journey of knowing you and following you. I can't do this. I've tried to put things together. I've only failed. So I look to you. Set me free from these cages. You're my only hope, God. Jesus, I need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me give you a couple next steps. If that prayer was your prayer tonight, a couple things. Right down the hallway here, we have a prayer room. And there's some people down there who would love to talk with you, give you some resources, and just hear a little bit more of your story. I'm going to be up front here after service too, if you'd like to come talk to me. Just want to let you know that if that's your prayer and this is your story, the love of God and the mercy of God, you have no idea how good it is. And when the Holy Spirit comes in your life, you have no idea how much change can happen. You can be absolutely transformed as you start this journey with God. I want to let you know about that. Now, a couple other things I just want to give you. The devotion is just so good. So if this is hitting home for you, just grab that devotion. Laura's done a powerful job of writing it. The book Safe People by Townsend. If you're in a situation going, oh, I think at work or at home or in family or in something or friendships, I keep surrounding myself with unsafe people. Why do I do that? You know, get this book, okay? If you're not a book person, really cool thing about the devotion right now, the end of the devotion, skip to the last day, you'll actually see a link that will get you on Right Now Media, which is like Netflix for discipleship. So cool. It's a resource we're bringing you as a church. So cool. It's so cool. There's a specific teaching by Dr. Cloud on safe people. So you could watch it as a family, as a couple, as a group, and you could actually do some deep work in asking yourself the question, why do I keep having people who are not safe in my life? If you're here and your situation is just a little bit more complicated, as always, go down to the prayer room. We got that home center. We got care ministers. We'd come alongside you to talk through what it looks like to try to deal with maybe some people in your life who it's a deep struggle. So there's steps you can take if you would do that as we take this journey towards being free. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are God who comes to set us free. You are the God of wisdom. Lord Jesus, you are wisdom incarnate. You've shown us a better way to live. You loved, you served, but you also didn't let people take advantage of you. You also didn't let, you know, people violate your boundaries. You know, you came to do something. You came to carry our sins to the cross, and that's what you did. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray we'd learn from you. We'd learn from the Proverbs. You'd move us, Father, away from evil, even away from foolishness, to this life of wisdom, which is about seeing you, honoring you, following you, and loving you. And I just thank you so much for these beautiful people who are your church, who are so receptive to your word and your teaching. May they receive it with joy, even as they struggle to apply it in the most beautiful way. We love you, and we praise you, and we do this all in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week.